The third season of the original sports web series, The Sports Walk, is underway. The YouTube hit is giving away a $50 Amazon gift card to one lucky viewer of the show or a listener of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. Who knows? It could be you. All you have to do is enter the gift card giveaway contest. Look, it's easy, and there are multiple ways to enter, including subscribing to the Sports Walk YouTube channel, liking the show on Facebook, or following on Twitter or Instagram. For more information, visit the giveaway link in the description info for this episode. Good luck as the contest ends August 15th, 2019. From the Gotham Podcast Studio, episode 92 of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, Dexter Henry Brian Fonseca.
Yeah.
Got some guests with us today.
We do.
As we've been doing a lot lately. First timer here on the podcast, our man Anthony Rushing.
Yeah.
A writer for New York Sports Day. Anthony, what's up, man?
How you doing?
I'm good, man.
Good to be here.
Good. Everything's good with you except for that Yankee hat.
I know. Look, it was strategic, man. It was strategic.
Because you knew we were talking Mets today.
Exactly.
You knew we were going to talk some Mets, so you came up with the Yankee hat.
Yeah. Let me just turn it around. Because I get asked all the time, like, who are you, a Mets fan or a Yankee fan? But I write about the Mets.
Yep.
So I'm like, if I bring the Met hat, everybody going to swear I'm a homer.
Okay.
So you can't have that look.
But don't you write about the Yankees, too?
I do write about
that. You're a homer, man.
Not as often.
That's why I went black. I ain't go to the traditional.
You thought nobody's going to notice?
So, I tried, man.
So that makes it just a regular New York hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a New York hat.
I guess we'll let him sign that. Our other guest, Jamal Murphy, you've been on here a couple times recently from the Bros Podcast. Also, can see some of his writing on The Undefeated. Jamal, what's up, man?
What up? Great to be here, of course.
Yeah. Good to have you guys here. All right, so we said we're going to talk some Mets. We haven't talked some baseball here in a while.
Wait, real quick trivia question about the black Yankees hat. Of the four members of Slaughterhouse on the first album cover that they had, who wore the black Yankee hat?
I believe it was Crooked Eye.
No. Jamal?
Don't know.
Anthony?
You said Slaughterhouse?
Yes.
It wasn't Joe, right?
No, it was Royce da 5'9".
Royce da 5'9" did it. Oh, okay. Oh, man. That was a random trivia question.
Yeah, I went with the obvious guess.
Yeah, you went for the person who might wear the New York hat.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, or Joel Ortiz could have went with that too, right?
Well, he had a regular black hat. And Joe Budden had a Detroit hat, so I don't know if him and Royce were
him
trying
to. Him and Royce must have just tried to flip it.
Yeah, that sounds strategic.
Okay.
It sounds like,
That sounds like
shot each other out. Crooked Eye, I think, had a L.A. Kings hat, which would make sense.
That would make sense.
But anyway.
Okay. All right. You tripped me up on that one.
Word.
That's what I'm here to do.
Speaking of baseball, the New York Mets are incredibly hot, and they are shaking things up.
They're going to the World Series.
Wild card.
It's over.
See, man, this is why Mets fans can't have
good
things.
It's a joke.
Y'all don't know about
this. We can't have nice things.
Because we're vibing. They've won 50 out of 16 in the time recording.
But I do think they're making the playoffs.
Yeah. At least he said just going to the World Series. He didn't say, you know, because I made a joke the other day to a friend of mine. They'll get to the World Series and get swept. Like, that sounds right.
Sounds right because we've kind of seen that before.
Yeah,
we're losing five.
We've seen that a few times.
Houston's really good. I don't think anyone's beating Houston.
True, I agree with that.
First of all. But let's get into it. What do you think?
You could get a Subway Series.
What do y'all think they're going to?
But that price
the Yankees,
like
the Yankees
the
ain't
time.
Making the World Series. But I think they're good, but I don't think they're making it to the World Series.
you see Anthony's face?
because Houston's really good.
I think Houston's really good.
Really good.
We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that.
Okay. What do we think the Mets are going to do the rest of the way?
Well, here's the thing.
You want to go there?
Well, before we go there, I don't think anybody saw this coming. I'm a Met fan who was like, they're done, disappointed with this team, wanted Mickey Callaway to go, didn't want to see any of these guys really anymore. Cano, he still could go. don't really care. They've turned it around. They got the juice. A lot of people are comparing this to 2015. To that, you guys say what?
Yeah, it feels like 2015. It feels a lot like 2015, except 2015 was a little different because Yoenis Cespedes, I think, single-handedly sort of uplifted that lineup enough because the pitching was really good. They had no hitting, like zero hitting. This year, it's not quite the same. They were just sort of inept in a lot of different areas. And now they just got things together. They traded for Marcus Stroman, which signaled, okay, they're competing. After the trade deadline, people knew that they were going to stay here, especially Noah Syndergaard. Maybe they're settling in. Maybe there's something to that. But their lineup is pretty consistent. They have Pete Alonso, who still, even though he's not as hot as he was before, still hitting home runs late in games. And I think that's the key for what we're seeing right now. They're playing the Nationals as we're recording this, trying to sweep them. The last two games, those come from behind wins late. Yeah. That's what shows you the whole, you know, that you got to believe thing of what they've done from the past. I think that I'm looking at them and I'm saying there's no reason. If I'm them, I'm thinking that I could get to the World Series because of how they match up with the Dodgers and because they can pretty much put their roster up against all the other teams in the National League. Because outside of the Dodgers, nobody comes that close
in a regular season. It's crazy we're even saying this. What do you think? What do you think about their turnaround?
I think they're very confident. So it's like when you playing with that much confidence, like last night, perfect example, that game is played 2-3 months ago. They lose that game. They probably lose Friday's game, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so right now they're like, okay, we gave up a home run. Lugo gave up a home run 2 months ago. Game's over. They're in the dugout like, okay, we still got to get in the bat. So we coming back up to hit. They're playing. When you winning like that, confidence grows and it grows, and they're just on another level right now. So I think personally they're getting a wild card. I could see them getting a wild card right now.
Yeah.
I see you guys are very confident.
Because I mean, we've seen this happen in 2015.
I've seen other things happen too.
2015, remind me exactly how it went down again. I remember the Cespedes trade at the deadline. Was that the deadline?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the deadline.
So where were they at that point? Do you remember?
They had to come from behind. I don't remember to what degree.
They were 6 or 7 games out of the division at that time, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. And Cespedes went nuts. Like, he had 17 home runs the rest of the season.
Yeah, that was his contract.
The last 2 months.
So it is similar to 15 because they got real
high. Except offensively, it wasn't just Cespedes, but it was mostly him.
Right.
Like, the impact of adding him to the middle of that lineup or the 3 spot in that lineup. And him just carrying them offensively and other guys being able to hit now because you know how it is.
Right.
One guy's hitting, so then it opens things up for Daniel Murphy. Right. It opened things up for other guys behind him. I think Conforto was already there. The thing was their pitching was really good, but they weren't getting the run support. And Yoenis Cespedes helped them get that run support.
Right.
Now it's like they're just clutch and hitting late in games, and the bullpen is holding up for now. That will probably be my big concern to see if the bullpen is going to hold up the rest of the season.
At some point, they're going to have to use Edwin Diaz, and that scares me. Like, in a big spot. Like,
see, I like that he has he's having the time to figure his stuff out right now.
Yeah.
He
looked good before. Look, here's the thing. He looked good, like, the first month or something.
He was very
good.
Like that.
Looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, Jamal was talking about this off the air. What were you saying? Like, because you saw the change in May,
right?
Yeah, I mean, he lost it along the way, and I attribute that to the Mets culture. Like, what was going on at the time? You had the GM sitting on the couch telling the manager who to put in. Callaway looking like he doesn't belong. You know, as a manager, he didn't at that point. He's lucky to still be here, really. To me. I kind of give Diaz a pass in terms of, you know, he's still a young guy.
Still
it's hard
very
to perform.
He's still very young.
He's 25. Yep.
It's hard to perform when you're playing for like a organization that's kind of a mess at the time. Now they look like they turned it around. Maybe he can get his confidence back. We know he has his stuff. Like, we know stuff wise and talent wise, he's got it.
He's going to get a chance because they have to justify that trade. Like, Cano, obviously, didn't
I think
work.
They still could, though.
You know,
I mean, Cano. Well, Cano. Ugh. Here's the thing. I will say this, and I know Dexter wants to get him out of here. He wants to.
Well,
do
he's not getting
food.
Out of here.
Well, here's the thing. Here. But I know Cano? He. Yeah. He is your new Raymond Felton. Famously, you wanted to drive Raymond Felton to the airport.
Yes, that is
when
correct.
He was at the Knicks.
That is correct.
What would you talk about Raymond Felton with in that airport ride? If you were driving him,
he's gonna be flying first class. Coach.
First, you got to get up to the front.
I don't know, man.
So, but I think, yes, you got to justify that trade, which I feel like you still can because he's young enough. But I think with Cano, he was starting to hit. And I think historically, he's mostly a second half hitter. Like, he's
That's
a guy
true.
That
he
later
was starting
in the season.
To hit. Yeah, he was coming
so,
around.
You know, he's hurt now. So we're going to see, you know, what happens with that moving forward. But with Edwin Diaz, I still think you're going to have to throw him out there at some point. I think he'll be fine long term.
I think so, too, actually. I'm not
this
as worried about
this is a
win-now
team, though, so we're going to have to see if
but
he can.
But, see, I'm with Anthony in that he's going to have to get a shot in a spot here at some point down the stretch.
It might be today.
Because you can't overuse, Lugo here.
Or
right?
anybody.
Or right. anybody. And you're going to have to put him in a big spot. Maybe it is. We're recording this where they're trying to sweep the Nationals. Maybe it is today. Maybe it's upcoming tonight, series against the Braves.
Because tonight you kind of playing. Yeah. You got a little bit of house money today. You already won the series. Could be a good chance to put him in today.
But, yeah. But we're acting like, yo, they just won, how, what is it,
15 out of 16. Yeah.
He saved a few of those games. Like when they were against the White Sox on the road, Pittsburgh on the road, he did get a shot. It wasn't pretty.
Yes.
But he got it done. So, yeah, I'm a little nervous about him too, but I think he's gonna get many opportunities here.
Had they put him in last night, I would have had a panic attack.
Well, I had a panic attack when they put him in against Pittsburgh in the White Sox.
The White Sox.
He came through. You know, he gave up a home run here or there. But, you know, he got the save. That's what counts, right?
To me, it's definitely more mental with him, man.
I wonder now, I'm thinking as I was listening to you guys say that, and I wonder if they are a little hesitant to put him out here at home because of the way the fans feel. And maybe it'll be a good way to get him started back on the road. But at some point, you're going to have to put him in a home game.
He saved,
you can't hide him, man.
He saved one of the Marlins games at home on this home
game. Oh, that's true. He did. He did save one of those games.
Yeah. Well, was that the one where he left two on?
He left two on. It was a little shaky. It was not clean.
Okay. He hasn't been clean yet.
Yes. Look, if you leave two on, but you get the job done, I'll take that every single time.
You know why? Because you know what that sounds like? A regular Mets closer. That's what that sounds like.
We've seen Armando Benitez do this. That sounds like. We were talking about Henry Mejia before this started.
Come on. That's
but look, last night, they were clearly hiding him. Like, because you brought him in to be the closer. So in a game like that last night. But
Lugo's pitching so well.
Yeah, and how do you feel about that? Because I'm like, I like, you know, Callaway, we have agreed that he's been shaky. Mm-hmm. But I like that he's saying, hey, this is the guy that's hot. This is this big of a game for us. Callaway, and I'm doing the right decision.
He managed it the right way. Look,
I agree.
We're hot. I got to win games. Callaway's got to win games, too. You know, at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so I got it. But at the same time, if you get a closer and you're bigging him up to be, that's my guy, lights out, ninth inning. That's supposed to be his spot last night.
But you realize you put more pressure on Diaz. It's like things like that.
Right.
The media. We're gonna. You can't win. You know what I'm saying? You put him in. He got to be perfect. If you give him a little day off because Lugo's doing his thing, now we're looking at Diaz. We're looking at you because you didn't pitch. Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to see them. You know, maybe they have the Braves coming up, right? Let's say they were to blow them out. They're winning 8-1. You get him in the ninth. See what happens. And then if he gets three outs, maybe you could start working him back into that closer role. Because the thing that made me nervous, too, and it hasn't been pretty lately, but between late July and August, the beginning of August, there was a four-game stretch where he allowed a run every game that he pitched.
Right.
You know, other than that, I mean, before that, he had seven consecutive scoreless innings or something like that. So he's had these stretches where, look, when it's been bad, it's been really bad. There's been a few really ugly showings, but he needs to be more reliable if he's going to be the closer.
I mean, his ERA is over 5, so he's been shaky.
Yeah.
Like, for the majority of the season.
But what I'm saying is, like, you have, all right, for example, on June 27th against the Phillies, he had 5 earned runs in that one performance, and that he only got one out. So you're talking about one-third innings pitch, so, you know, your ERA is going to inflate just based off of that. There's another one with 4 earned runs and the same thing, he only got one out. And there's another one over here with, again, 4 earned runs and just 1 out.
Those are the things. You can't have that. That's not acceptable. And if Callaway's shaky on him going down the stretch, I think there are ways, like you brought up, that you can build his confidence and come back.
I would find a way to put him in today because they're going to Atlanta after this.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, he's still – let's not get twisted. He's still the closer. That was actually the first time that Lugo got a chance to close out the ninth, and then that wasn't even a save for Lugo. That was a win.
Situation. Unless it's changing right now.
Right, and like, you know, maybe. But I think Callaway had said prior to the game that if Lugo has a short eighth inning and he's pitching well, we'll give him the ninth. Why not? You know,
I'm fine with that for now.
But I think, you know, first of all, if it's a close game tonight, it's going to be Diaz. Because Lugo just pitched two innings.
I want to see that. I want to know why. Look, at some point, you got to respond, right? Because to me, it's more mental than it is mechanics or anything like that. I mean, yes, he's wild, but I feel like it's all starting up here with everything.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
The last, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The last, he pitched in 7 wins, 7 of their wins since July 23rd. So it's not like they put him on the shelf at all. Yes, he hasn't been clean. He's given up some runs there, but he hasn't lost any of these games in his last 7 outings.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we've been a little – I mean, he's like I said, he's still the closer. Yeah, has he been shaky? Yes, he still has great stuff. He's still young. He's, you know, he still has this opportunity. So, you know, I'm giving him a shot. Like, I'm not so nervous every time he comes in, you know, because I know he has good stuff.
I still believe in his stuff.
And you want it to work out long term because he's not a free agent for
it better work out
three,
long-term.
4 years.
I'm putting him in there today. I'm finding a way to get him in there.
But today is a day to get him in there, I think, as we're talking about that. If you know, after this is recorded.
Because you want Lugo fresh for Atlanta.
Yeah, and after this is recorded, if he gets in, and let's say he has a clean day. Well, that can do a lot for his confidence going on the road, as you're saying. And obviously, Lugo needs a rest, so like that could definitely be a good thing. Now, Jamal, are you drinking the Kool-Aid the way Brian is and talking about they're going to the World Series
playoffs?
I'm not saying World Series yet, but I'm drinking the Kool-Aid as far as the playoffs are concerned. I think their staff very strong. They obviously have the momentum. The offense is coming around. You got Alonso, who's an absolute beast. Conforto is a legitimate hitter in this league. McNeil's doing his thing. Rosario. So the offense is coming around. And when you have that staff, I do worry about the bullpen a little bit. But, you know, when you look at the other teams that they're fighting for in terms of the wild card spot, I think I'm not that concerned about that. The Mets have done this before. It always seems like when the Mets make these runs, they do at least get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
The problem with the Mets is when they're up, you know, they've had collapses and they have comebacks. You know what I'm saying? So maybe if they started really well and started to lose, I'd be real scared.
Shout out to Willie Randolph.
But now I'm confident they'll make the playoffs.
Shout out Willie Randolph.
Yes, we always got to shout out Willie Randolph. East Flatbush guy.
Meanwhile, they're down 3-0 right now.
They're down
3-0. DeGrom's giving up three runs.
What? Yeah, but you know what? You know what's crazy that just happened here? DeGrom, they had bases loaded. Alonso tried to make a throw to first base to DeGrom covering, and there was the error. And that basically allowed 3 runs to score. The Mets should have been out of that inning. DeGrom made great pitches to get out, but didn't happen.
Amer Rosario batting .345 since the beginning of July.
Yeah, a lot of the guys on the team have been hitting. The pitching's been good. The bullpen's been good. So you have to be impressed. I am, because of what Jamal said, the Mets are usually like coming. They're easy to come back. Mm-hmm. Only year I really remember them being like strong all the way through in my lifetime was like 2006. And they were strong all the way through.
They were favorites.
Even in that year, they gave me some disappointment. Because I remember I was in Pittsburgh the weekend they could have clinched the division, and I went to 2 games in Pittsburgh. And what happened? The Mets lost both of those to get swept. So they always found some. Hey, it was whatever. It was a great
year.
You were
there.
Yeah, it was. It was. So, I mean, it's, you know what? I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm Mets fans. I saw some Mets fans on the train. They're pumped up. I like the energy around the team, you know, but I'm just kind of like, I'm just enjoying day by day. Hopefully some of the Mets fans do that too. Now, I agree. I think they could compete. I think they could be a tough matchup out if they get in the playoffs. The pitching's really good.
Right.
If the hitting keeps up, who knows? We'll see. But they're playing to their potential, which they were not doing in the beginning of the year.
I just really like that their starting pitching is giving them 6-7 innings.
Right.
Yes.
You know, yeah,
like,
man.
That wasn't happening.
Well, that ain't going to happen today.
Right. Looked like DeGrom.
Syndergaard got jumped on yesterday, 2 runs early.
And he settled down.
He settled down.
So, yeah.
But that's the key, yo. You get 6-7 innings out of your guys, you know, you're going to be in the game. You're in the game. Agreed. You know, and that's all they could ask for right now.
Do we think Joe Panik is going to have a big impact down the stretch?
I mean, it helps with Cano being hurt. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. It's another guy who's a professional.
Right.
He's not a great hitter, but it's a veteran. I think he can absolutely help. I think that was a good pickup. I do. I think it was a really good pickup. You got the look in your face.
I like Joe Panik. You know, he's Joe Panik. Like.
Solid fielder. Very good fielder.
He's
going to help.
He went to St. John's.
I still want to see McNeil play most of the
New York City. We out here.
Yeah, want to see most of the reps there. But we'll see. You know, I think the Mets are going to be fine. I'm just not going to World Series. I think they could definitely make the playoffs.
Coward.
No. I'm not a coward. I've seen enough before to know not to be that ridiculous. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, call me a coward.
All on the line, Dex.
Oh, you will put it all on the line. You will put it all on the line. That's that short guy mentality.
Mets Astros, October 25th.
Oh,
or whatever it starts.
Wow. Just stop.
Nah, I do think they're making the playoffs. I don't think they're making a World Series yet. But talk to me in September. We'll see how the rest of this month goes.
I think they're a wild card team. I think they're definitely
I think they're getting that second wild card spot. Maybe the first one. How far are they from the first? Oh, they're right
half
there.
Half a game.
Look, they play Atlanta. They
look,
the stretch.
They have six more games in
the But yeah. if you're the Mets, you're not scared of the Brewers.
No.
You're not scared of the Cubs.
No.
The only team that really makes you nervous are the Dodgers because their lineup is ridiculous. But you have better pitching than them outside of, you know, Ryu who is just coming back from injury, and Clayton Kershaw, who hasn't been that great in the playoffs historically.
Right.
And yep. The Mets know that because in 2015.
They beat them with Kershaw and Greinke. So, yeah. You know, the Dodgers were a tough matchup for the Mets then. I thought it was a good matchup, but I thought it would be a good series. If they played each other again, and the Mets are, we're assuming that they stay hot through this, there's no reason. You talked about confidence at the top, Anthony. Mm-hmm. There's no reason they can't be confident going forward. But, you know, we'll see.
What do you think the magic number of wins they would need to get to?
I was thinking about that this morning.
Yeah.
And I said...
They had 87.
I said 86, 87.
They had 87 and 16 when they got the first wild card spot.
I think the way... If you look at the way the National League is... Yeah, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but... Yeah, I see like 86. 85 might get you the second wild card. That's me talking about the first.
That second wild card is very reachable.
It might be 84. Yeah. Might get you.
I was thinking 85 for the second, but I'm thinking if you want to get in for sure, the number's always 90. But I would say like 88. 88 gets you there.
And then right now it's 61.
You're talking about 88 and 74, because that would be your end of the season tally, and that means you need 27 wins the rest of the way. You would need to get to 88 wins. You need to go 27 and 18 the rest of the way.
I mean,
it's doable.
Yeah. It's doable, and they will have beat other contenders. For the wild card spot on the way to doing that.
That's where some people on the other side are bringing up the schedule.
Right.
See, but I like that. They got two teams that are around them in the division. They got the Braves ahead of them that you were just saying they could, if depending on how they play, they could be competing for the division.
Right.
Yeah. We don't know. 2 weeks from now, we could be like, yo, they're 4 or 5 games out. They're right in that for the division I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is what confidence does for you, because they know that now.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they said that last week.
Yeah.
Like, look, wild card.
Alonzo was talking about
division.
I like that mindset.
I'll give Brody props, because from day one, he basically said, like, this team, they want to compete. And people were trying to figure out what they were doing at the trade deadline. They traded Marcus Stroman, who the Yankees wanted, who other teams wanted. And they didn't really sell off anybody else outside of Jason Vargas. And thank God for that.
he was pitching okay at the time.
But it makes sense.
They sold as high as they
But it makes sense. You get out Vargas, you get Vargas out, you replace him with Marcus Stroman.
Right.
Right? As good as Vargas has been at some points during the first half of the season, Marcus Stroman much better in Toronto.
Right.
And he did pitch well in his first home outing outside of the fourth inning. You're doing that alone, and then if everybody else just continues to hit, yeah, I have every reason to think that this team thinks that they can compete.
They have a very good mix right now.
And like, here's the thing, too.
Their chemistry is really
good. We were saying before the drop, before the losing streak, or losing streaks, plural.
Yes.
We were saying before that this team is built at least to – they weren't that far away. Right. And now, let's say they come up short. Let's say they finish 83-79. They're, you know, a couple games out of the wild card or whatever. You're looking at the rest of this roster, and you're like, yo, they're not far away at all.
Right. To be honest, even if that happened for me, I thought the team was, I think I said 84 wins, 85 wins at the beginning of the year. So it wouldn't be far from what I thought. So for me, I know people, here's the problem is people will be disappointed because they'll see this run and they'll be like, oh, well, they didn't make it. If they don't make it, I think they turned their season around. And like you said, they have a lot to still build on. The core is still fairly young. It'd be nice to see if they could spend some money, but we don't know that. It's not a disappointing year if it ends up that way.
We're talking about free agents, and there aren't a lot of good free agents next year, but Anthony Rendon is a free agent third baseman, and the Mets kind of need a third baseman.
That's a lot of money.
If J.D. Davis is not your third baseman next year, or if we ever see Jed Lowrie again, I don't know if that's going to happen. Knowing the Mets' history.
Will they spend the money? That's what it comes to.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the question.
If there's a dude that I'm spending money on,
I would.
It's Anthony Rendon.
I would.
Especially since he's with the Nationals.
I would, but I have no confidence to believe that the Mets will.
We'll see what happens.
Let me go back to what you were saying about the GM, Van Wagenen. Yeah. You know, if they continued down this road, I would have absolutely been killing. And I was killing him in the first half of the season. So I have to give him credit now for what, like you said, buying and not selling, he was going against the grain.
People were killing him for that, and I'm like, why? Just wait how it turns out, and now everybody looks stupid.
Right, so I got to give him a lot of credit for doing that and, you know, making this run, I mean, an incredible run. So we'll see what happens. And as far if they don't make it, you know, I'll be disappointed because, really, they have enough talent. In the pitching alone, they should have been in wild card contention, period, no matter what, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So if they don't make it, I'd be disappointed. And maybe they still will have to make a few changes. Maybe a center fielder. There's a center fielder I heard the Red Sox want to get rid of. If you want to spend some money or spend some players. I don't know. They need a center fielder.
They do, and they need a third baseman. Those positions of need. And even if they don't make it, they might still need a manager. But that's another story for another day.
Yeah, that's true too. He ain't all the way there yet, man.
I'm not willing to do that.
Right now, he looks like he know what he's doing.
Yeah, he looks like he knows.
Winning does that for you.
Yeah.
The Sports Walk is back. Watch Season 3 of Backpack Broadcasting's original web series that brings you the opinions of real sports fans. The first two seasons and current season are available now for viewing on the Sports Walk YouTube channel and Facebook page. Check out the 2017 NYC WebFest official selection and see what other sports fans have to say on the hottest issues in sports today. It's easy. Just take the Sports Walk.
The NCAA, basically, who, you know, I'm not a fan of, if people know for most of the show, they decided to tighten its certification guidelines for those seeking to represent college athletes. And basically, they want agents who could represent guys who were deciding whether to put their toes into the water in terms of seeing if they want to get into the draft. Those agents now will have to have a college two-year college degree. Am I correct on that?
I think a bachelor's.
A bachelor's degree.
Yeah, bachelor's.
Because I don't understand exactly what that value the bachelor's degree is for becoming an agent. But this is now what they have. And obviously the first person that came to mind for this for a lot of people was Rich Paul because how he ascended to his agency, and he does not have a college degree, became friends with LeBron and has become a great agent in this league. And a great representative of talent. But now, the way I look at this, guys, is it's been called the Rich Paul rule, and I don't think it necessarily hurts Rich Paul as much, but it hurts the people that might try to be the next Rich Paul. Right. So the next, whoever it is, but let's say more so a minority that might not have a 4-year degree that is looking to get in this game and might have a connection to a player, now that guy or girl can't get into the game in that way. And it makes me question, and this is a big question for me here, why is the NCAA trying to keep those people out?
I mean, come on.
I mean, we've seen No. I want to ask that. I'm asking that not in the way that I don't know the answer we as minorities haven't seen people try to keep us out of things before. I think we all know that. But it's interesting the timing of them doing this now, right? Like, I find that interesting. Jamal, you're a big college basketball guy. What do you say?
I mean, it's the NCAA. I don't think it was directed at Rich Paul. I agree with you. I think it doesn't even hurt Rich Paul. I mean, he could hire an agent with a degree to go in there and get a player. But you're right. It hurts the next Rich Paul. It hurts people like LeBron James who he brought his guys in and wanted to do it on his own. So if another player, you know, wants to just put his friend on who he thinks can do the job and happens to not have a degree, it hurts there. He can't do that, right? So he has to go to a stranger or whatever. But the NCAA is just trying to control the situation. You know, they want to put up all these barriers, you know, college degree, you know, all kind of jobs say they want someone with a college degree. It's just like something basic. College degree, blah, 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 this. You got to come take a test out here in Indianapolis. All these hoops that people got to go through because they want to make it harder on the player to make his own decisions and make money, and they want to box everybody else out of the process so the NCAA can keep cheating. They want to say, oh, we're helping the player so you don't get cheated, so we can just keep we want to cheat you. Mm-hmm. We want to be the only people to cheat you. Mm-hmm. You know, so to me, it comes down to that. You know, there's a lot of money involved. They don't do this in baseball. They don't do this in hockey.
Yep.
It's basketball and football where they want to control things. So, you know, it's all about trying to keep everything in-house and keep that money flowing just to them.
Right. Now, does anybody think that, because this has obviously gotten a lot of backlash, we saw LeBron respond to this on Twitter. A lot of people have been critical. Chris Paul, other people were critical of this. Does the NCAA walk back any of this? Anthony, do you see them at least saying like, oh, no, you know what? We're getting a lot of bad press here. We're going to pump the brakes. We're going to chill on this.
No, because it's already out now. They go back. They look even more bad. But it's like Jamal said, this is about control. You know, they see where the money's going. You know, they see it's going out the door. And they don't have no say in it, or they don't have as much say in it as they want. So they got to get in front of it, you know, the best way they can. I would have loved to have been a fly in that room when they took a vote on that. You know, oh, here's what we're going to do. Right. You know,
I would have liked to have seen the representation in that room.
Oh, yeah. Well. I think, yeah, we know what that was. Exactly. But I'm wondering, like, who's the person that's like, oh, you know what, man, how are we going to get them? Yo, for your bachelor degrees. That's what we're going to do. That's going to be the real sticking point here.
Not an associate's. No.
That's too little. We got to go back. Brian, I know you are not here for this.
Some people like taking back their country. What can I say?
True. But it's actually not their country.
Same principle. Mm. Same principle.
It is the same principle. It's like, you know, like I said.
But I know what you mean. Yeah. You know, we're all immigrants. Yeah, sure. I seen the Felipe Lopez documentary. Mm-hmm. We're all immigrants. Mm-hmm.
But it's analogous to that, though, because it's like the NCAA, like I said, they are cheating the athlete out of, you know, money, all kinds of stuff by not compensating them. But then they want to, out the other side of their mouth, say, oh, we're trying to protect you from everybody else who's trying to get your money. It's just like, you know, it's just like Republicans out there saying, oh, we don't want to do anything about gun control, but we really care about the people who got killed, but we can't do anything about it.
They care about the earth and don't want to do anything about climate change. Same thing.
Yeah, I mean, the issues for me too is, yeah, it is the hypocrisy of that, right? Like it is the hypocrisy that it continues to go on. But the NCAA, I think the larger issue is, and I know you're a big college basketball fan, we all watch college sports, we still support the NCAA. We're still out here watching these games. Kids are still signing and going to schools, yeah, right? And we know the NCAA.
Media also.
Yeah.
You think
I'm willingly watching some of these games?
Right.
If I'm being totally honest.
Well, here's the thing even there, too. And you know, Jamal spoke about this in an episode of the Sports Walk we did, where it was like we talked about the court cases that went around the NCAA, and there wasn't a great amount of media coverage on this. And I'm kind of concerned with this rule, too, that this is just sort of a flash in the pan. It just came, and now it goes through the cycle, and nobody's going to really talk about it anymore after this. It seems like these things come up with the NCAA, and then they die down real quickly, mm-hmm. right? And then it just goes away, and then it's back to the next thing. And we all, as much as we're fans of college basketball, football, et cetera, we know these kids are exploited. This is just another form of it. But it continues. Like, where's the real change coming?
Well, the draft soon, allegedly, is, you know, they're going to let high school players come probably by 2021. Mm-hmm. I think that's the year that's supposed to change. Rumor. Yeah.
Right.
So then this will matter less. You'll have more players coming out of high school and going to the NBA regardless.
That's a good.
And what you're starting to see now anyway is a lot of kids coming out of high school and just going straight to the pros overseas. I've probably seen that four times this summer at least. Where I'm looking on the ticker and, oh, this person, you know, 38th ranked player on the ESPN 100 is going to Iceland or whatever it is.
Right.
They ain't going to
that's
Iceland.
That's where there could be an effect where more kids do that. The draft, I mean, we had that before. Where Kobe in that era and LeBron in that era were allowed to skip college and go to pro.
Kwame Brown.
College is still going to play a part because it's only like, that's only like 10 guys a year, if that.
Yeah.
You know, so there's still going to be kids who play as fresh who weren't like, you know, like a Trae Young type who wasn't expected to be that good,
but
is that good after a freshman year of college? Then all of a sudden they leave and get drafted.
But with like Rich Paul, for example, he only going after like those top flight guys as it is.
That's why it's not directed towards him.
Yeah, no. but I'm saying other guys that were following him, maybe that if they grow up around somebody who's that good, like if Imani Bates' best friend wants to be an agent, he can probably get with him because that's somebody who's going to go straight from high school to the NBA.
And it's just creating hoops for people that the NCAA shouldn't be allowed to do that to. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It should be the player should be allowed to decide who's going to be his agent, period, point blank.
Right.
The NCAA wants to make these arbitrary hoops. I don't care what they said. I don't care if it was a degree. It's probably worse that you got to go down to Indianapolis in their corny-ass headquarters and take a test. Like that's probably just as bad. You know, a test. What's on the test?
Yeah.
Like, what are you testing?
Yeah, I see that's. Nobody's ever going to get to see that, and I want to know what's on that test. I do too.
I do too.
But you're right. The guy who's wants his homie to represent him, and they're like, no, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. If Anthony wants me to be his agent for whatever he wants to do, and I'm like, oh, I got you, I'm going to represent you. Nobody should be able to tell me that I can't
and
do that.
And that's what they're getting in front of because they feel like they are. they can't be involved in the decision making, and they just can't have that. Like,
yeah, right. they want as much control and as much power as possible. But I think, as minorities often do, they'll find a way around that.
Yeah, so that's kind of,
we'll find a way around.
That's kind of the narrative I've heard from a lot of people, is that
you can make us jump through so many hoops, we'll find a way around.
I was like, with LeBron's tweet, he was like, okay. Right. We still coming. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, bro.
And I like that. And I like that mindset. I just, you know, and I haven't really seen too many people on the other side that have been pro NCAA on this.
No.
I'm sure they exist, though.
Yeah, in the Senate and Congress.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they exist. But, you know, this NCAA stuff for me is just, it's just another despicable act upon them. And, you know, they say nothing. Yeah, that's why I kind of understand your point, Anthony, where it's like they won't walk back their comments because they never have to.
No, no.
They never say anything.
They've taken body blows already from the fact that the players are not getting paid. They've been dealing with that for how long now? Mm-hmm. So if they can deal with that, they're going to deal with this.
They put out that awful commercial early this year that showed like how that's the day in life of a student athlete, and that went horribly wrong. And
everybody made fun of it.
Everybody made fun of it and knew how ridiculous it was. And
yeah, they got a lot of. There's a lot going on with NCAA. Mm-hmm. They, you know, California came out with the ruling through Congress that schools in California can now pay, they can pay athletes, and they have to pay athletes, and the NCAA basically tried to scare schools like UCLA and stuff like that, saying if you abide by this, then you know we're not gonna you won't be eligible for championships. This is crazy.
Meanwhile,
you know?
The Final Four gets bigger,
right.
And bigger.
So
and
if
bigger.
You so the government is already we're already moving towards that where they're gonna have to do something and they're gonna have to come out of pocket with something. It's just a matter of time, okay? So you know they're not gonna give it up. You're gonna have to take it from right. them.
I mean,
know that.
You already know they want – the NCAA wants a lot of control, too, because they have a history of vacating national championships.
Right.
Which is a joke. Because
championships in general.
People don't forget that the person won the
championship. Especially with, like, Louisville, for example. Like, what did they really do? They had hookers.
Yeah.
What was a big deal?
What do you mean? That's terrible, man.
How else are you going to recruit some kids?
Oh, yeah. We just never thought they were using money. Money and sex is used all the time to learn tons of things in this country.
Come on, bro.
And Patino didn't know.
Do you watch rap videos?
Patino didn't know.
He didn't know.
You remember?
He looked the other way. He didn't know.
Yeah. He was like, hookers, I don't deal with
hookers. We all saw He Got Game. Come on, fam. Remember what Jalen Rose said? He said, look, if I went to a college campus and I didn't get any, I wasn't going there.
Yeah.
You already knew what went down in Michigan.
Come on,
bro. The NCAA is trying to police even that?
So to be clear, to go over some stuff that we have, the criteria agents must possess is a bachelor's degree, certified with the National Basketball Players Association for a minimum of 3 years, take an in-person exam.
And the worst part, going to Indiana.
In Indianapolis.
Go fly all the way to Indiana.
Oh, man. Sorry, Michael Grady.
oh, shoot.
And show 7 years of address history.
Yeah, that's
Mike, Grady live in Brooklyn now. He
well, I mean, that's his hometown.
Yeah, but
so you know, that's the homie. I'm not going to
Brooklyn.
And Indianapolis is not a terrible. It's a nice little place.
But he's talking about the headquarters.
Some stuff going on over there.
The headquarters.
They got bars and stuff. You know.
You not trying to go to Indianapolis anytime soon? Take that test.
It's a nice little
town.
Well,
you were an agent at one point.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 7 years of address history. What's that about? Yeah. So if I moved with my family to go someplace else for 3 years, and I'd be like, no, you can't do it,
Jamal. You're gonna
it's just invasive. Like, why do you need to know? Where I live.
I mean, I guess you have to be at the same place residence, but
you're gonna try and jump back in the game.
No, it's not likely. It's a dirty game, man.
NCAA. What did you want to play on NCAA? You had some.
No. On our next topic.
Oh, the next topic. Okay,
I jumped the gun by accident, as I often do.
New podcast alert. Life coaches Marguerite Pierce and Lindsay Jackson are bringing a rich blend of laughter, love, and wisdom to their podcast, Necessity. The pod seeks to reestablish the basic tenets of self-love, self-confidence, goal accomplishment, and the ability to love life on your own terms. Necessity is available on all major podcast platforms, so grab a cup and listen up as two coaches are on a mission to shift perspective one sip at a time.
I don't think enough people outside of Dan Le Batard are talking about our next discussion. Probably because it's a more Miami thing, but it should be a bigger story than it is. With Kenny Stills, if people who don't know, Kenny Stills is a wide receiver, with the Miami Dolphins when that owner, Stephen Ross, because Stephen Ross, who apparently, you know, has his own sort of RISE initiative for sports inequality, it's called the Ross Initiative for Sports Equality, you know, trying to get people to rise up and all that stuff for diversity and whatever. But he's supporting Donald Trump with sort of his latest campaign. And Kenny Stills, while on payroll with the Miami Dolphins, sort of fired back a tweet saying that he basically, you know, that those two things don't align is what he basically
said.
He's
right.
Yeah. He said that. And then they asked him about that after a game. And here's what he had to say.
Doesn't like put me against Mr. Ross. It's just, you know, I'm just trying to like inform him that, hey, like the two things don't align. Like, I mean, I don't think it's that complicated. I don't like have any like hard feelings towards him. There's no like beef. It's just like, hey, these two things don't align, and maybe somebody else hasn't told you, but I'm letting you know. And it's important to me that, you know, that the work that we're doing isn't just lip service. It's real. And everything that I do has been real from the very beginning, and that's going to continue to be that way. And so, I just wanted to let him know that it's where I'm coming from and how I feel. Sweet.
And then there's also Dan Le Batard from Highly Questionable.
Be the next wave. Just so that you're clear on this, the Miami Dolphins owner has all the money in the world. He's the kind of guy who can charge $250,000 a table at a fundraiser. But the problem he's got in his huddle right now is that's a primarily black team and that's a primarily black coaching staff. And so on this particular subject, Kenny Stills is on one side and he's looking at his owner and saying, you're on the other. And they're asking everyone in that locker room, pick a side.
Yeah, head coach for the Miami Dolphins is Brian Flores, who is black.
Who's from Brooklyn, by the way. Went to Poly Prep. Yeah, went to Poly Prep, my high school.
Yeah.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. First time head coach, he kind of told Kenny Stills, like, yo, you know, sort of calm down a little bit.
See, I really just saw
the headline of that. I want to read more into that. So, but just from the headlines, that's a little disappointing.
The quote before we get into it is from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, so we'll give a courtesy to them. And that sound was courtesy of Highly Questionable. Brian Flores said, I talked to Kenny. Well, the one thing I said to Kenny was I kind of understand where he's coming from. He wants to be a voice. I talked to him about it a couple weeks ago. I understand him wanted to be a voice for people who don't have a voice. I respect that. My conversation with Kenny, I asked him, why didn't he talk to the owner? Why didn't he talk to Steve Ross before putting something out? I think that's something we have to do more of. There's got to be more communication, more conversation, more communication if we really want to make the change. And I wish he would have done that, and I told him that. Here's the problem with that, though. If you go straight to ownership, we're not talking about it because we don't know, because that gets resolved in-house. And the whole point is to make it ugly. The whole point is to get it out there.
Okay, so there's a couple things here, like, right? I don't know if it would get resolved in-house, which is a fair question, right? We don't know. This is akin to the people who are like...
Well, it gets suppressed in-house.
Right. It could.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is kind of like the people who are like, oh, man, I don't like the Colin Kaepernick kneel because that's not the way you should do the message, right?
Right.
And the whole problem, the whole thing with protests is to make you uncomfortable. Like, nobody's sitting around a protest and being like, oh, man, it's comfortable. And Rosa Parks,
oh, thank you for that protest.
Yeah. It's like, oh, thank you for doing that. It made me really comfortable. So maybe, actually, I won't say maybe, probably the best way for Kenny Stills to get this message out was to be extremely public and vocal with it, right?
Yeah.
And bring some awareness to it. And it actually puts pressure on his owner, to, I'm starting to not like that term, the guy who...
His CEO.
Yeah, CEO of the team.
Yeah.
To actually do something here. And have we heard from the owner on this?
Yeah, just a generic sort of statement. I'll pull that up. But, I mean, that's basically what it is. I mean, you guys said you were disappointed in hearing that Brian Flores sort of went back on this. Why?
I thought it was a tough spot for Flores.
It is, because he's going to talk about it, and the person who's paying him. Right. I get that.
He just got there, but I wouldn't try to mute my guys, my players, like that, because that's how it came off to me.
Right.
Like, you know, like, he used his platform to speak on something. All right. What I would have said to Brian Flores is, all right, you're talking about keeping stuff in-house. How about... But you're telling us what you just told your player to do. Like, you told him, so why don't you keep that in-house?
Right.
You know, so you're just making it worse.
Right.
You're throwing fuel on the fire now. You know,
I agree with that.
That's a good point. And also, his campaign contributions and support, that's not in-house. That's become public, and we know what he's doing. The same way we know this RISE program is not in-house. And I think we all probably agree on this. The point Kenny Stills making is right. The two don't align. You can't say you're for diversity and say that you're also backing Trump, who's clearly been not for diversity.
Right. Here's a statement from Stephen Ross. It's long.
And probably says nothing.
Mm-hmm. Remember, he has something to do with Equinox and SoulCycle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who took hits also.
Yeah, I'll read like the part that's important, right? He said that he's known Donald Trump for 40 years, and while we agree on some issues, we strongly disagree on some other issues, and I've never been bashful about expressing my opinions. He said that he starts his business with nothing and goes into that whole thing. He said that he has been and will continue to be outspoken of racial equality. I heard that side, Dexter, so I know you ain't feeling this. Inclusion, diversity, public education, and environmental sustainability, blah, 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 blah.
But meanwhile, you're still giving him his money. You're still giving him his money.
He not only that, he hosted the fundraiser.
Right.
That Donald Trump had wherever, probably in Miami.
And people keep trying to make these, like, you know, make things equal. You know, I like what he says on taxes, but... You know, yeah, I don't like the racism stuff, but you know, that's like, no, you can't
gloss over certain
things. That's a big issue. You know, you can't say, I can't have respect for you if you're telling me, you know, I don't, you know, the racism thing is bad, but I'll roll with him on that because of this other stuff. Right. That's crazy. Like that, I was telling a friend of mine, you know, on Facebook, you get into these arguments on Facebook.
But a
guy I went to high school with from, you know, he's Italian.
Whatever. I saw this. This was hilarious.
I was like, yo, I'm never going to support a president who is outwardly racist towards Italians, you know, because that speaks to their character. Who else are they outwardly racist against? You know what I'm saying? That's not what we want as a country.
Yeah.
You know, so of course I'm going to take offense to it. If you don't care, you're basically saying you don't care about black people. If you can still, you know, support a person who feels that, who obviously has ill will towards a group of people. What is that? What are you saying? So you can't have it both ways.
Exactly.
And I obviously agree with Stills, and I'm glad he said something. And I am disappointed in Flores because say nothing, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. Right. Say nothing. You know, you're right. He's in a tough spot. It's his, right. You know, his boss. Okay, so I'm not asking you to really come out and attack him. You don't have to do that. Even though I wouldn't mind that either. But you don't have to go at your player for doing it a way you wouldn't do it. You don't have, you could just stay out of it.
He could have just said, look, we're working it out in house.
Or he could have said, hey, my player has a right to express his opinion on what he feels. I do not suppress the voice of any of my players. Done. That's the end of your quote.
Yeah.
And what I find, this is my problem with statements.
He probably thinks of saying that because you got to remember he's a first time head coach. So, you know, before anything, he's trying to protect himself.
You know what? You know
so
what?
I think he thinks that saying that even would.
I think he did think that. I don't think there was any malicious intent by Flores here. I think he was trying to protect himself in this. But you know what we've seen?
It is like he's trying to separate himself. Like, I don't think like that.
Right. But we've seen – I'm going to say
he's
this.
He's black and his last name is Flores.
I'm going to say this now.
So he's both of us.
We've had players. Kenny Stills is going out and putting his name on this and putting his face on this and is out there. Come on, it's time for some coaches to do it too.
Right.
Y'all can't always be toeing the line. Mm-hmm. So if you know something is wrong, say it's wrong. Like, and I'll agree with you. He didn't have to come out and say all that. He doesn't have to attack the guy who's, you know, I get that. We all have to make some choices where we can't do some things right because the people who are paying us, there's not total freedom there.
Right.
But if you know something isn't right, you kind of really doesn't have to really say anything at all. His silence actually could have been more powerful than what he said here.
Yeah.
Because now it's kind of like, yeah, Kenny, you know what? You did it. This is another thing I'm tired of. Can we stop with the... Yeah, I support the players for express themselves, but let's not have them do it this way.
Right.
Right, because it makes you uncomfortable. That's as I said before.
That's the point.
That's the point, man.
People hate being uncomfortable.
That's the point.
They hate it.
And I feel Kenny, and you know what? For the owner, you put out this statement. You know what? When stuff like this happens, why don't you stand up in front of the press and answer some questions? Because I got some questions for him.
Yeah.
I'd love to be in that Miami press. I got some questions for him.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you say you're for diversity and all this stuff. And to Jamal's point, you can't have it both ways.
But
you can't dip your toe in the I'm for the people and then dip your toe with somebody who's like, yo, I'm not for the people.
Right.
It doesn't work like that.
I think he's doing that because financially it benefits him.
I agree.
Financially, for some people, it just benefits you to be like, oh, yeah, I'm with black people on this. I'm with Hispanic people on this. And then when Trump is in office, you know, they try to use the cop out like, oh, I've been a friend of his for a very long time.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same thing that Trump would be like, oh, I have black friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're kind of doing the same thing.
But he also says he's, and this is an actual quote, where he says he's the least racist person in America. Look at y'all faces.
You know, because you know, we all know as black people, when anytime somebody's like they're the least racist person or they mention the black friends, yeah, probably thinking about, the most I'm thinking
about that. That also means you're still racist, by the way. Because you didn't say you're not racist. You said you're the least racist.
It's true.
I'm thinking about that D.L. Hughley joke in Kings of Comedy.
Yeah. When
you can count how many come in the door.
Yep.
If you stand in there counting.
We know. We already know. Right. Yeah. It's just, look, Kenny Stills did the right thing here. He should be getting more attention. This hasn't gotten more attention nationally. I think it's quite frankly because people are uncomfortable talking about it too. That's part of the problem. People are uncomfortable talking about it.
We're never going to get anywhere until we address the issues and people. You know, I always like, I tell people all the time, like okay, even racism in itself, it's not the end of the world. Like, you can recover. You know what I'm saying? Like I always joke around, like, some of my best friends are racist. Like, this is something we deal with as a black person or in this country. Like, that is part of the deal. Right. So we deal with this. You know, but you have to accept the fact that, hey, you are racist.
You can be a better person. Right.
And you can change that.
Admitting,
you know,
is the first step.
Bill Roden always says, you know, men in this country are all recovering sexists. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something you have to actively change and make yourself become a better person. Right. So, you know, okay, you're racist now. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up on you. You know,
right?
But just work at it.
There's still hope.
You can be better, man. It's not the end. I can be better,
bro. Look at how much rap has changed in the last 5 to 10 years.
Right.
You know how misogynistic that shit was 10 years ago?
But then that also goes to, like, Roden's point and stuff like we've probably listened to or been misogynistic or sexist, homophobic. Yeah. There's a lot of things that's probably been a part of you that you've changed. And, like, people haven't given up on me as a person. And I've had some. Yeah, it's a great point. It's truly a great point.
Listen, and y'all more than me, but we all grew up in a time where there were certain words you could say back then, certain things you could say back then that you can't say now.
Right.
Right.
One of them starts with an F, and it ain't that one.
Right. Right. And here's the thing.
It's like a six-letter one.
And here's the thing. I could look back and see people I've been around or people who did that or things I participated in myself and been like, nah, I'm not that person. Right. So I'm with Jamal on that. Like, hey, to all the racists out here who probably aren't listening to this podcast, like, yo, y'all could be better, man. Could be better.
You don't think Stephen Ross bangs with us?
No. No. I mean, if Stephen Ross wants to come in here and talk about this and answer some real questions and not sit through a blanket statement, I'm all for that.
That ain't happening. Dudes with that kind of money, they ain't going to do that.
They
show up to these games, these football games. I think he was there last year. He was at I guess the Jet game. And they take questions. Jerry Jones takes questions. So, you know, he should have to address it a little more directly.
Well, but you know the problem
Jerry
is
he'll find the camera.
He will. Some people in the media aren't going to ask the right questions, I should say. For example, somebody says they're the least racist person. I'd like to know, when was that time you realized that you were the least racist person?
Well, when have you walked in the press room and everybody was black or Hispanic?
That's true.
That's probably.
But you don't need that to even happen. You need people to just care about humanity.
Right, but their sensibilities are a little bit different when it comes to issues like these.
It could. That's true. Or they could. The other people who may not be that could just care about humanity a little bit and be better people.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, let's do these numbers.
Oh, boy. All right, 92, episode 92.
Wait, does Anthony know about the number?
No, Anthony does not know.
Hold on. Before we do numbers, there's one more question I wanted to ask. How are we approaching the NFL this year? Y'all watching? Or?
Yeah, I watch.
I've always been consistent with it. I'm watching.
I really.
You guys also covered the league.
But it has. Like, ever since the cabinet thing, it has affected me. Like, I do find myself caring less, about the league, about the games, too. But, you know, I still watch. You know, I still appreciate the athletes, the game, grew up on the game. So, I still watch. But it definitely is taking a lot of the enthusiasm out, even
as
a fan.
I was a bit conflicted a couple of years ago, you know, when all of this started, you know, especially when you're in the press box during the national anthem.
True.
Like,
I
noticed
I'm
fidgeting a lot more.
I stay in my seat.
You were fidgeting? Look, you're like, I don't know.
I'm like, I don't.
Bro, me and Gerard, you should ask Gerard this. Ask him what he does when the national anthem comes up. Matter of fact, I'm just saying on this podcast. I hope he listens to this. I really do. I think he will.
Start Googling stuff.
Yo. We'll be in the press room at a Nets game, for example. Let's say at a Nets game. We'll be downstairs. He'll be looking at the TV. He'll see the anthem coming on. He's like, I ain't going out there yet. He'll like wait till that play.
I can hear
like,
him,
right,
can hear him saying it just like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I'm not doing it. Like,
you know, I ain't going out there for no damn man.
They got any more? Yeah. They got any more food?
No, it's real.
Yo, but I mean, you know me. I just stay if I hear it anywhere. You could play it right now. I'll be seated. I'll be staying in my seat.
You know what's funny that I haven't.
I don't care. Like me and my mom argue about this because she's a former Marine. But I'm like, Mom, you gotta understand. Like this don't mean shit. The anthem, like the actual anthem, the song. Like I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about the song playing it before a sporting event. Who cares?
I understand why she may feel that way to some degree, or it might be, and that's fine. Here's my thing. I say all the time.
Love you, Mom.
If Mom feels like she wants to stand for the anthem,
she don't listen to this shit.
Great. If somebody feels like they want to sit during the anthem, nobody should be pressuring each other what to do during the anthem.
Right.
It's just a song. Right. However you choose to deal with it.
The song honestly doesn't slap.
That's like getting mad at somebody not getting up for the electric slide at the wedding. Yeah. Like I might look at you sideways and I might be like, "Yo, man, like what you doing?" But like
I'm looking at you sideways. Yeah, you don't get up for the electric slide.
Yo, I mean, like we understand. Like you kind of got to.
You know
get
what was corny? You know what was mad corny? I'll never forget when I could tell these stories now because I don't work at St. Francis no more. But I remember we took a trip up to Robert Morris University, which is right on the outskirts
outside of Pittsburgh.
Right outside of Pittsburgh. I saw people, God, this was annoying. I saw people, I must have been sitting down because they were playing the anthem, so I probably was.
Wow.
But whatever it was I was doing, I was watching people. There was like this row of kids, a student section. And there were like a few, like a handful of them, probably like five or six after the anthem was done because they had their hand over their heart. Their heart the entire time. And then they did the salute after it was done. I was like, all right, y'all gotta relax. Like I know y'all Robert Morris and the name is the Colonials, but y'all gotta relax.
They try to keep it real patriotic, man.
And it's all for show. Boy. That's the thing too. Like it's complete show.
Robert Morris.
Do you do that at home when you're watching the game on the couch?
See,
you stand
okay.
up and hold
that's,
your heart.
See, that's the thing.
You take your hat off
I've,
at home.
I've always made that point. That everybody talks about how unpatriotic it is for the people who sit or don't do this. And I'm like, y'all not consistent with that energy. Y'all ain't doing that all the time. And let me also say another thing.
If you walk in the street, when you are at a sporting event,
next time you're there as a fan or media member, but just look around. Look and ask yourself what most of the people in the stadium are doing when the national anthem is being played. Do you know what most people are? In the bathroom or at a concession stand.
Walking right. around.
And when you're at that bathroom
eating
or concession
cheese
stand,
fries.
Ain't nobody stopping and being like, hey, you know what? I'm going to stop that transaction.
Exactly.
Man.
Put the ketchup down.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You're not going to go to a stand, buy nachos and cheese, order it, and then the anthem starts, and then you're trying to get your stuff, and the cashier's like,
hold on. I'm not going to swipe that card.
And be like, wait, I want my nachos. No, wait. Wait,
nobody,
we gotta.
Nobody
get
does that.
We gotta get the anthem off.
No, like it literally dawned to me. I think I was at the Knicks season opener a couple years ago, and I took my daughter, and I was like looking around, and I was like, "Ain't nobody here in this bowl." Because I actually went down to my seats when they were doing the anthem, so I was in the process of doing that, and I was like, "This is such bullshit." Like nobody's out here doing this, and Jamal's right. At home, you're not standing like here. Anthony's
not.
Making
you're getting
a
wings.
Anthony's making a sandwich. Bro. He's not stopping like.
I'm flipping channels.
Yo, look.
One of these games had to kick off. Look,
one of these Septembers, let's all go. I'm not even kidding. This is not one of these plans where you make them and then forget about them. Like, I'm dead serious about this. We'll get us. We'll get Gerard, whoever. We'll go to a bar. We'll watch some football, whatever the case may be. And let's see what happens when they play it at the bar.
I know. Nobody does that.
Nobody's going to stand
First
up.
First of all, you don't see it on TV.
Yeah.
That's another That's thing. So even when we went to the bar, you're not going to see it. They don't show it.
God forbid a black person's not standing. Oh, my God. They can't even show it on TV anymore. Oh, my God.
Well,
you
we
see
all.
Him?
What's a better plan?
First
to do
of all,
is,
the NFL only does that because of the military deal anyway.
And pay patriots.
Yeah. That's all pay patriots.
What's a better plan is we all should go to a game, all sit in a row full of minorities. And not stand.
Yeah, just
that's what she
like.
Do.
Yo, I just ordered.
And I
want
to see how many people get angry.
Oh, there would be some angry people there for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen,
can't wait to laugh.
You don't want me to be one of those people that ends up in a video fighting somebody else at a football.
Because that's highly likely, no matter what the situation.
That's not
is.
Even
and
true.
And honestly, the closest thing to a Trump rally might be a football game. I hate to say it,
especially when that anthem is played.
College or pro.
Especially when that anthem is played.
Now I think about it. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point. On to these numbers, which we have to which we got to explain to Anthony. So, Anthony, we for our artwork, we always have a player whose jersey number coincides with the episode we're doing. So today is 92. Oh. I have a pretty good idea of who this is going to end up
for
being.
89, oh. We had... Who was 89? What wide receiver?
Were we there for that? Which one?
You might have. No.
Wait, you weren't here for 89.
Because 90 was Javon Kearse.
That was with Iron Eagle.
Yeah, 91 was Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
I'm pretty sure. Or was it Ron Artest?
No, we did Ron Artest. We kept the Queensbridge.
Oh, because, but, yeah, but.
Who was 89?
Well, speaking of Trump rallies, you know how problematic Dennis Rodman could be. That's why I was like,
I think he's a Trump supporter.
I mean, yeah.
What a shock.
Yeah, like.
So we choose him. 92. What? Who do we got for 92? What do we got?
Oh, I think it's a no-brainer.
I think it's a no-brainer,
89
too.
89 was my boy, Steve Smith.
Oh, yeah, that's what you have.
90 was Javon Kearse, and 91 was Ron Artest.
Ron Artest.
And 88 was, you were here for 88. 88 was Michael Irvin.
Irvin, right? Yes.
And
Gerard. Gerard, I remember that. Yes, I remember.
He wanted a certain other wide receiver.
And we were like, no.
That was Nabate who wanted to.
No, Gerard didn't want
him. I think he called him out.
Yeah. Gerard was trying to explain to him, bro, don't mention that name on this podcast or anywhere.
I got to text Nabate back about that again, too.
Oh, all right, man. 92. So we're going to start the bidding off in the obvious place of Deshaun Stevenson.
He's 92.
You said that with a straight face. I couldn't even look at
I forgot
at you.
About that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. All right. Lucas Nogueira.
Who?
Who? What are we doing?
Basketball
wait,
player.
Wait a minute.
All right. Now we get
play
to
the play for
region.
Who?
Dallas Mavericks.
Oh. Huh.
Wasn't he? No. That's it.
Wadanara.
Yeah.
Yo, how you going to get your peoples wrong?
Oh, damn, man. My people. Wadanara is Mexican.
All Latinos, man. Come on.
Nogueira was with he's Brazilian. He's with the Raptors. He's a dude with a tattoo on his face.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Got you. That's a no.
Not a lot of NBA players got face tattoos yet, although it's coming. Haloti Ngata.
No.
Michael Strahan.
Ooh. That was
what I was thinking.
Oh, that's what you were thinking. That's not who I was
thinking. I was thinking.
Hold on. We'll keep going. James Harrison.
That's an honorable mention.
Okay. Albert Hainsworth.
Wow.
Good player.
Elvis Dumervil.
Nah.
Sean Rogers.
Nah.
Ted Washington.
Nah.
Michael Nylander. Hockey player.
No.
Sean Ellis.
Nah.
No.
Reggie White.
Yes.
That's where I was going. But Strahan could get on there, too.
Yeah, Strahan.
But it's got to be Reggie.
I was going Strahan.
I got to go Reggie White.
I
got the Eagles hat on. This is paying shit. Homage to what I was a fan as a youth of the Eagles.
Why?
I've since moved on.
Why?
I feel like it was the first football game I watched when I was a kid. And then they always had black
Cunningham? Cunningham, got you.
Cunningham to McNabb. Right after that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They're the anti-Giants.
Then as soon as Chip Kelly came on, I had to get out of there.
Understood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Understood. I thought
no Chip, offense to Chip Kelly.
I thought he was going to be pretty good.
It was a bad period.
What's your vote?
Oh, Sean Ellis. What you think?
Okay. You could have been serious and actually voted for Strahan.
I'm going for Strahan. Two Super Bowls.
Sean Ellis.
Sean Ellis was nice.
And
no one's going to back me up on this.
And two other people are Hall of Famers. That have
he
been
has
voted
he has 70. Hold on. He has 72 and a half career sacks.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Nah.
Okay.
I don't think so.
We're talking about Hall of Famers here.
Are we? No, but listen, I grew up a Jet fan, and in my Jet fan days,
so did
Sean Ellis was one of – Sean Ellis and John Abraham were my guys.
I understand.
All right?
But you have votes for Hall of Famers, and you came with a non-Hall of Famer.
Yes, because I just explained to you that I'm a former
He's
Jet fan.
He's your personal
fan,
Hall of Famer.
And, yeah, right.
I can't stand those. God, I can't stand personal Hall of Famer. That's a whole other podcast
amen,
topic.
Hey, man, 2 years of 11-plus sacks. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Not bad.
A lot of sacks.
Sorry, Anthony, you've been outvoted. It's going to be Reggie White.
Yeah,
and your vote was
– The great Reggie White.
Yeah.
You did nothing with your vote.
Let me tell you something, though. A defensive front line with Reggie White, Michael Strahan, and Sean Ellis would have been nasty. It's unfortunate that couldn't have happened.
It would have. Do you want to put all three of them on the artwork?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so. All right. This will be the Reggie White episode.
But I don't make the artwork. I'll take that up with Matt and
they
see
can
what
take
he
that
thinks.
Up to Matt. Maybe we'll get Sean Ellis on there, and we'll get Michael Strahan on there.
We'll see. Reggie White.
Thank you guys for joining
94,
us.
94, I'm voted for John Abraham. You heard it here first.
Oh
boy.
I'm trying to think of what the better options are.
John Abraham was nice, though.
94.
That's a good one. We'll think about that when we get to that. Anthony, thank you for joining us.
Thank
we appreciate you for coming
appreciate
on here and talking.
We definitely
to us.
Had to talk some baseball because you said baseball is your first love.
Baseball is my first love.
I kept
love.
That in the back of my head. No, I was so like, all right.
We didn't talk some baseball.
I was like, when the Mets. I literally said, when the Mets.
Oh!
I told Dexter, I was score? Like, when the Mets turn around.
Oh, 3-3, by the way. Mets
I told,
tied it up.
I told Dexter, see that?
The new Mets.
World Series.
Stop.
Look at that. Put that three right back on the board.
I told Dex a while ago, I was like, yo, when the Mets turn it around, we're going to get Tony up here.
Yo, we did say that. That's true.
I hooked my people up.
That's true. I hope you know your whole appearance here was all based upon
I know it was.
That's not even fair to you, man.
But here's the thing. I said that knowing that it was going to happen.
Okay, you're killing
me. I knew they were going to turn it around.
Okay, you stop.
What are you talking about?
Stop. First, you knew it was going to happen. Now you know they're going to go to World Series. Before we let you go,
bro, when we talk in October,
are the Yankees going to go to World Series?
I'm worried about their pitching, so I'm going with Houston. Okay. I think Houston beats them in the series.
Yes,
I agree. Yeah. Okay.
How far did the Yankees even go? Did they get out the first round?
As long as they can go as far as they need to go until they run into Houston.
Mm. Okay.
When they run into Houston, that's it.
Who else is going to? Minnesota's probably going to win that division.
Cleveland, they're tied
for division lead now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Cleveland's coming back. Oh, my boy Lindor. You know what I'm saying? I get one in there anyway. We got Lindor. We got Rosario. What up? One of them Puerto Ricans is going to get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We're going to get somebody. All right, we're going to get somebody.
Yeah, I don't know what to trust with you after you predict the Mets going to win the World Series. I don't know.
How far are the Red Sox right now?
They are 15 games behind.
He has Puerto Rican also.
Yeah.
That's why he's going to turn. Yo, right. We out here, bro.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to turn it around. Remember, when we did the MSG segment, when we did the People's Talking Sports segment, they asked what New York – this is a true story because I'm going to put this on my reel. What New York City athlete do you want to take a road trip with? I said Edwin Diaz.
To where?
Okay.
Who cares?
No, it
didn't matter. I'll be his wingman.
You want to go to Indianapolis to take that test? Y'all want to go to Indianapolis to take the test for a road trip?
Okay, first of all, I ain't going to Indianapolis.
I didn't think so. Second of all,
me and Edwin Diaz wouldn't go to Indianapolis, all right?
Yeah, I didn't think so.
You're probably
fine. You said it didn't matter. You said wherever.
No.
Yeah, I thought so.
it matters. You're not sending me to, like, Montana.
I could. I
might not make it back. Like, I'm not going there.
I could. Somebody at my job recently just took a road trip and went to Montana.
Were they black? Exactly. Were they Hispanic? Exactly.
All right. That's it for this episode of the A-Hart Self Podcast, episode 92. Thanks to our guest, Anthony Rushen of New York Sports Day. You can check his work out there. Jamal Murphy of the Bros Podcast. Also on The Undefeated, hopefully having a good feature on a Mets pitcher coming up soon. Not going to say too much about that.
My name is Brian Fonseca, and I want my money.
And he also wants his Puerto Ricans still, to get
I'm
into the
I'm still owe
MLB
money
playoffs.
By some people. I'm looking in this camera right now.
Wow. I know those people.
You got 50 Cent on here?
Yeah. He'll teach you how to rob. He'll rob him.
I'm still waiting on some stuff from April.
Man. Do you just want to say their name?
No.
Okay. I don't know if they want you. Thank you guys.
Hey, man.
Thank you guys again for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, wherever you guys listen to it, however you support it. Support us on Patreon and check out our other ventures. Side Hustle by Brian is going on.
Episode 3 this week.
We also have the Sports Walk still continuing, wrapping up season 3. You can catch Jamal. I believe that was episode 3 you were in. Mm-hmm. Anthony, we got to get you on the Sports Walk. Fairly soon, we're gonna get that done.
Yeah, I got a walk in me. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. You got a walk in. You
got
a walk
in.
I got
one walk in me.
All right, that's cool. All we need is one walk. So support all those things, and that's it for episode 92 of the A-Hart Self Podcast. Dex Henry, Brian Fonseca.
You.
Till next time, y'all. Peace.
Shout out Sean Ellis.
Nah, man. No Sean Ellis.